project. The next matter is State versus Kurt Krajicek.
Good afternoon, Your Honor.
Good afternoon.
Stu Dornan appearing on behalf of Mr. Krajicek. It pleased the court, opposing counsel, that a seminar not too long ago where three justices of the Supreme Court said it's not a bad idea to remind the justices of the big picture, in fact, why this case is important. This is important because it's always very important for law enforcement to be limited in the search of somebody's home and to be able to rummage around in their effects. Fourth Amendment is designed to protect against that if there is not probable cause. This particular case involves a search warrant that I believe was very thin probable cause. The initial information provided in the warrant was from an investigative smoot. The client was Kevin Finn. The bare bones allegation from investigator Smoot was that Kurt Krajicek was in possession, using, and distributing anabolic steroids in residence. There was nothing with respect to the classification, where that came from, nothing concerning the basis of that. We don't know if that came from a confidential informant, anonymous. The affidavit is not addressed that issue.
The district court actually acknowledges that that part of the affidavit was not sufficient, right? But determined that the independent investigation of the trash pull sufficiently corroborated then the information. That's really where the problem is, I think, is with the trash pull.
That's
don't
correct.
You?
Yeah. That's correct, Judge. And I mentioned that initially because there's also an argument with respect to beyond exception as far as the pull. Thing, I believe.
That would come if only we conclude that the trash pull was not sufficient, right? Sufficiently.
Right. So what you had was a trash pull that occurred, and the information was that it was a refuse bin on the curb of a residence identified as Krajicek was living. What was found were five syringes and two vials with some markings on them. Those vials in the affidavit started out as vials and then became bottles and then became containers. And I think that that's important because with respect to those vials, there was labeled that there was an anabolic substance called somatropin, I believe is how you pronounce it. But there was no drug in those vials. And there was no information that those vials had not been legally, or excuse me, the substance had not been legally prescribed. Certainly is, I believe, a fair probability that perhaps the substance was originally in a different item, was legally prescribed, and ended up in a vial. The agent, Mr. Finn, stated that in his affidavit that he had primary training with respect to meth, cocaine, marijuana, and other substances. But he didn't have any specific, didn't say he had any specific training with respect to anabolic steroids. Nor did he say he had any training with respect to any language that he believed was foreign language that he believed was on the vials. There was nothing else in that trash pull that associated what was in the bag with Mr. Krajicek, with his girlfriend, or with the residence. There's absolutely no other venue there.
Wasn't it described as miscellaneous venue items without any further details?
Yes, that's correct. So if you want to be, you want to think deviously, you could say that if somebody provided this information and wanted that information to be confirmed, they could put those items out in the refuse outside of Mr. Krychek's residence, because we don't have any information that law enforcement did any surveillance to identify who handled that and who brought it out.
Yeah, let's talk about that refuse bin a bit, and definitely we'll ask the state about that too. But what was indicated in the affidavit to tie that bin just to this defendant?
There was nothing other than said that the bin was located on the curb, but there was nothing that tied what was found in that bin specifically to Mr. Krychek, Ms. Brinkman, or the house. So if it's out there and if it's a refuse bin that other folks in the neighborhood could put their garbage in, we don't know that.
And as you indicated, there was no surveillance to show that someone saw trash bags from that resident going into that bin.
Correct. Correct. There was a dearth of information with respect to that. So the court, in its order, said, well, I find that these vials were mislabeled, and I find that the writing on it was indicative that it came from another country. I think that's quite a bit of official fact-finding that is outside the record. It is possible that that's... But we're not dealing with possibilities, we're dealing with fair probabilities.
Is it my understanding that the only evidence that was offered by the state were the affidavits themselves?
Correct. There was no law enforcement call, Judge. You know, the state has the burden of showing Leon. So there was no law enforcement call with respect to any other information that they had with respect to reliance on why they relied on the affidavit, why they felt it was facially sufficient. And there was, obviously, the prosecution had the opportunity to do that, but did not. So I would urge the court to find that there was not fair probability, a substantial basis for this search warrant to be issued. Law enforcement, beyond exception, was not proven. And that...
Because did you just say that they didn't raise it? The state did raise the Leon exception to the district court.
In its brief, it did.
Yeah, because, I mean, the district court actually says the state argues.
Yeah, in the brief. Initially at the hearing, it just submitted it on the affidavits. Did not raise the...
But it was considered by the district court. Yeah, So assuming we can consider the good faith exception, then, what's your best argument as to why that wouldn't apply here?
Well, I just think the dearth of the information would not cause a reasonable law enforcement officer to believe that it was sufficient probable cause.
Well, in this case, the officer had information from another officer, right, another state patrol person, that this person was dealing with this drug or these kinds of drugs, and then tie that in with the trash pull where there was evidence of those types of drugs. You don't think the totality of those circumstances would have been a sufficient basis for an officer to believe that they were operating on a valid search warrant?
I guess I would ask the no. I would say that with respect to this court and having a high bar with respect to the thoroughness and diligence of investigation, there were a lot of other things that law enforcement could have done, would have supplied reason to believe that the warrant was good and the items would be good.
Didn't the officer investigate this particular steroid and determine that it was unlawful unless you could show it was for the treatment of the medical condition it's normally used for? And then went on to say there's no indication of a valid prescription on the bottle or an identifiable prescription number?
Yeah.
Don't think that's sufficient?
Well, with respect to the item itself, whether it was legally prescribed, just because it was in those vials doesn't mean that it could not, that it could have been, that it was not legally prescribed otherwise.
Doesn't mean that it was.
Doesn't mean that it was. We're dealing with a substantial basis.
Mm-hmm. What about the writing that wasn't in English? What does that add to the case or take away from the case?
Well, I thought about that, Judge, and, you know, I don't know that it is relevant with respect to whether this was prescribed or not. If the doctor prescribing it was wrote in that language, translated to my client, he knew about it, hard to say.
It's odd. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Counsel, whenever you're ready. Good afternoon.
May it please the court, opposing counsel, my name is Joe Meyer. I'm an assistant attorney general here on behalf of the appellee of the state of Nebraska. The state submits that the search warrant in this case was supported by probable cause, and as picked up on in my opposing counsel's argument, you know, the source of the information of Investigator Smoot's information is unknown. The state bases its argument on the fact that the trash pull and research done by the affiant was enough probable cause.
So you agree that the trash pull is critical to the first search warrant?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes. So let's talk about that one a little bit.
Okay.
Okay, so you heard my question earlier, right, about what was in the affidavit to tie that particular receptacle mm-hmm. to this defendant?
I would first note that in the affidavit, the dwelling, the house, the address is described as a single family dwelling. So it's not an issue of multiple people living here. There's information that the appellant rented the house with his girlfriend, so there's information that the appellant lives in that address. Again, and also some other state patrol investigators did conduct surveillance, and observed a refuse bin filled with multiple trash bags sitting next to the roadside car.
Already filled. They didn't observe it being filled. They observed it already filled.
Yes, from my reading of the affidavit, that's correct.
And then they followed whoever picked up the trash somewhere, and they looked through the trash. But didn't the affidavit simply say there were miscellaneous venue items? It didn't say, yes, there was a utility bill, you know, addressed to this particular defendant at this address, or there was this or that. It just said miscellaneous venue items. We don't know what those were, do we, based on the affidavit?
No. It was miscellaneous venue items. But in my estimation, I mean, the search warrant is for the address. It's not for the defendant or the appellant in this case. So I think...
But there was someone else living in that place, right? And so the miscellaneous venue items could mean to the girlfriend.
Absolutely.
And would that still have been sufficient then for the search warrant?
Yes, because the search warrant is for the house. It's not for the house.
It's for the house related to this defendant, though. Not for her, not the girlfriend. All the information pertains to this defendant in terms of him being the dealer, not the girlfriend, right?
Yes, but...
So just because there's some venue items, something addressed to the girlfriend, why would that make us believe that trash related to this defendant?
I think I'm just trying to stress that the trash is related to the house. And so the affidavit says we found these items in the trash, so we have reasonable suspicion fair probability that contraband or evidence of crime will be found in this house. The search warrant didn't ask for steroids that the defendant possessed rather than his girlfriend. The search warrant's asking for a search warrant for that house, and figuring out who possesses them is an issue later for trial.
What about Judge Moore's question earlier about the foreign language or foreign writing that was on the vial?
Yeah, I think that's important, and the case law suggests that courts can use common sense in these situations.
But the district courts basically determined that because there was this foreign writing that was either Japanese or Chinese or something Asian, that it had to be unlawful. Why is that?
I think using common sense, a lawfully prescribed substance obtained in the United States would not be written in Chinese or Japanese writing.
But somebody could have obtained it in another country and had it in another writing and had brought that to the United States? Is that conceivable?
That's conceivable, but under a probable cause determination, I think it's probable. They have probable cause to believe that there's fraudulently obtained.
So if somebody has empty vials in their trash that have a foreign writing on it, simply because it has a foreign writing on it, they now can have their house searched because there's foreign writing on these empty vials. Is that what you're saying?
Possibly. There's also five syringes here. Five syringes in two vials. This is evidence of continual use.
But the somatropin can be legally prescribed, right?
Correct. But I think the court can look at common sense and say if these were obtained legally in the United States, then there would be some evidence of a prescription.
But they cannot be obtained legally elsewhere?
They sure can, but it's just a probable cause determination. It's a fair probability that the contraband of evidence would be found. And we're not looking to convict the appellants based on the trash bill.
If the defendant was Japanese or Chinese, would that have changed the probability of unlawful activity?
Potentially, I don't know how the police would know his ethnicity.
It gets complicated, though, right, if you're just making a judgment based on foreign writing on a bottle.
Yes, and that's not the only determination here, I guess. Then you may be able to give some credence to the information, be it an anonymous tip or a confidential informant. Then maybe you can look to that in some sort of scintilla way and say, because you can look at Hidalgo, and Hidalgo talks about, the basis of the information and then the reliability, and that if the information is deemed to be so reliable that it overtakes or trumps the problems with the basis for the information, that can compensate for that.
So if we were to find that this was not a good affidavit, Tell me why the Leon exception should apply.
Leon exception, because I guess the only real exception that the appellant seems to keep it out of is the third, that it's so lacking in an addition of probable cause, and I think it's not so lacking in an addition of probable cause. And again, I think under the Leon, then you can take the tip into, or the information, the police weren't simply pulling everyone's garbage and finding out who had steroid vials in their trash. They, under some means, had found information to lead them to the appellant, and they confirmed that best they could. They presented that to a judge, and a judge signed off on it, saying it was probable cause. And it's not so lacking in probable cause for the good faith exception not to apply.
So the exclusionary rule serves to deter deliberate, reckless, or grossly negligent conduct, or in some circumstances, recurring or systemic negligence. So I think that's what the appellant's arguing here, is that there should be a deterrent effect in this case because you have an affidavit where an officer can simply say, oh, another officer told me, without providing any source information or even when that information was provided to that other officer. And then a trash pull from a curbside where we don't know whether there was an observation of that defendant putting trash into that trash bin. There was no surveillance of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
If that becomes the practice, is that a sufficient basis for law enforcement to obtain search warrants of people's homes on that kind of lean affidavit information?
Yeah, like you said, the exclusionary rule is meant to deter state wrongdoing, and I think appellant in his argument made an idea that maybe there's some wrongdoing by some miscellaneous character out there who's trying to set up the appellant. But, yeah, there seems to be no argument that the state did anything wrong here. I mean, if, you know, these are steroid investigations, probably not done as regularly as other controlled substances investigations. So I think all that combined, looking at Leon, you can say that the exclusionary rule would not deter any misconduct, or that no misconduct occurred in this case. That, unless there's other further questions the state would ask.
Yeah, just one. Would you, the state raised the exclusionary rule in its brief according to opposing counsel. Is that sufficient for this court to consider it on appeal?
Yes, and I believe I cite to Tompkins for the issue that the state can even bring up the good faith exception on appeal. Tompkins only speaks to the fact that it's error for an appellate court to raise the good faith exception.
Without anyone raising it.
Yeah. So, yes, there was no arguments made at the hearing. The court gave some opportunity for briefing. The state below apparently took that opportunity, and the court in its orders of the state raised it.
Thank you.
We ask that you affirm the judgment of the district court. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I believe the appellant is out of time. Thank you very much for being here. Matter is deemed submitted, and you are excused.
Thank you. Thank you.